If you have the Word of God, let's open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And today my message is entitled, Especially That You May Prophesy. Especially That You May Prophesy. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 and 3. The Bible gives us the command and the exhortation to pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Because one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. Father, we ask your blessing not only on the reading of your word, but now on the proclaiming of your word. I pray for a fresh anointing to be upon me today, that you'd give me clarity of mind and simplicity of speech and freedom to deliver this message. I ask you to maximize the message, minimize me as that messenger, and it's in Jesus' name that we receive the abundance of your anointing and favor. Amen. When I've studied the Word of God, I've been amazed now in these last seasons of my life that how much of a Western grid we bring to our reading of the Word of God. By that, I mean that I wear glasses now to help me to focus on things, and they help me to see things, hopefully, that my natural eye is not able to see as well as it used to. But if we're not careful and if we're not conscious of the fact that we bring a personal and a traditional and a denominational bias to the reading of the Word of God and therefore to the understanding of the Word of God. For over 200 years, America has developed a traditional approach to things like church. But how much of our approach to church is based on tradition from America as opposed to truth from the Word of God? When you have the grid removed from your eyes and you bring the subject, you bring the question to Scripture of why did people assemble together in the New Testament, you would come to a conclusion that they assembled for different reasons than we assemble today. For example, when you read the New Testament, you'll discover that when people assembled together in the New Testament, there were 8 or 10 solid reasons for them to do so. One of the reasons that people assembled in the New Testament is that they wanted to hear a message from Jesus. As a matter of fact, when you read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, John received a vision when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and Jesus had a message for all of those seven churches, which would also be expounded to the seven ages of the church age. And so it's a good thing to come to church to hear a message from Jesus. Amen? But do you know the other reasons that people came to church in the New Testament time? They came to church to be healed. Uh-huh. That's why they came. They came to church because church is where they were supposed to be healed. Now, how many people come to church today to be healed? The people came to church in that day not only to hear a message from Jesus and not only to be healed, but they came to church to be delivered. They came to church to be delivered from oppression. They came to church to be delivered from demonic influences. How many people come to church today to be delivered? Now, if we're going to get back to being a New Testament in our origin, we got to get back to the New Testament convictions that we ought to believe that when people come to church, they can hear a word from Jesus. When people come to church, they can be healed. When people come to church, they can be delivered. But you know another reason people came to church in the New Testament days? To be encouraged. They came to church to be encouraged. They came to church to be edified. They came to church to be comforted. They came to church to be convicted. They came to church in order that they might meet with God and be in His presence. Amen? But there's as many reasons people come to church as there are people. But if we want to come back, we've got to come back to find out the priorities of church in the New Testament. One of the things that happened regularly in the Bible is that God would have people to prophesy. Now, there's a difference between a prophet and someone who prophesies. Though prophets will prophesy, but you don't have to be a prophet in order for you to prophesy. See, we don't understand what prophesying is, and therefore we don't promote it, and we don't understand it that much. But let me give you a simple definition of prophesying. Now, there is that concept of foretelling future events. But more than that, it is a forthtelling of this. And here's what it is. It is when a person hears divine communication from God and reveals that divine communication to a person or to people. That's what prophesying is somebody hearing a divine communication. God says this to you, and he wants you to say it to somebody else. Now, another difference in present-day church style and New Testament church style is that in present-day church style, people come to hear one person speak. But in New Testament time, it would be all likelihood that God might have a word from many people that day. Listen to what he says. He says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you might hear a divine communication and speak that divine communication. Because one who hears divine communication and speaks that divine communication to men does it for edification, for exhortation, and consolation. Amen? When you study from the Old Testament all the way to the New, you'll find that God began with Adam, and Adam prophesied. Adam was the first one to prophesy. What were some of the examples of Adam prophesying? Well, when God created Adam and created him in his image and made him a spirit, soul, and body, when God did that, he gave him an assignment. And you remember the assignment that Adam had? He had to name all of the animals. How did he know what to name all of those animals? He was prophesying when he was naming every single one of those animals. God was communicating to him, this is what this one's called. This is what this one will be. This is what this one needs to be named. This is what this one. And he was just speaking what God was saying to him. Amen? And so we see that going on. How about Enoch? Enoch prophesied. Enoch prophesied, and when his son was born, he said, he gave him the name Methuselah. And the name Methuselah was a prophecy. It was he was prophesying by that name. When he is gone, it will come. And what happened? When he died, the oldest man who ever lived, when he died, the waters of judgment came. Enoch also prophesied, and we know this from the book of Jude, when Jude says, behold, Enoch prophesying, saying, behold, Jesus coming with 10,000s of his angels. How did he know about Jesus, and how did he know he was going to have a return? How did he know he's going to be accompanied with 10,000 of his saints? Because of the prophecy that God had given him. He was heard communication from God, and he spoke what was being said. Amen? Now, when we come to the New Testament, you can go all the way through. Abraham prophesied. Moses prophesied. Those 70 men that God assembled around, they all prophesied. Saul prophesied. David prophesied. And this is not even counting the prophets. These weren't men that were considered prophets, but they all prophesied. When the Spirit of God would come upon them, they would receive communication from God, and they would speak that communication for the edification, for the exhortation, and the consolation of those who were to receive it. Amen? So now you come to the New Testament, and you see the Apostle Paul, when he's talking to the Corinthian church and thus to us, he says, man, if I had one desire for each and every one of you, it's that of all the things that you would do, is that you would especially prophesy. I believe that God is in the process of elevating and releasing the ministry of prophesying among Truth Tabernacle of Praise. But in order to do so, we're going to have to learn some of the basics of it. Amen? If we're going to especially covet and desire prophesying, there are five things that I want to share with you this morning that will help you build that foundation in your personal life. Number one, if we're going to especially prophesy, we're going to have to pursue God's pure love. Amen? Look at what your scripture says. I'm not making this up on my own. This seems like brilliance to you, doesn't it? Well, it is because God gave it to us. Man, the best sermons and the best outlines, when God gives them to you, you just take it right out of the scripture and put it on paper. And they said, man, look at that pastor. Isn't he just brilliant putting this down right here? What do we need to be doing in our daily lives? We need to make sure that we pursue God's pure love. Look at what the Apostle Paul says, pursue love. Now, what does it mean to pursue? It means to seek. It means to desire. It means to chase after. And the word, it means to hunt for something. Now, what is Paul really saying when he's saying that we need to pursue God's pure love? Well, what he knows is what we would be reminded of is that John told us that God is what? God is love. And so all of us need to be pursuing God. We need to be seeking God. We need to be hunting God. How will you know if you're getting close to God? Because you'll be kind. You'll be patient. You'll be gentle. You won't be jealous. You won't be arrogant. You won't be prideful. You won't be boastful. You'll be able to bear up anyhow under things in life. You'll be able to suffer all things. You'll believe all things. You'll hope for all things. You'll be treating people like God is, because that's who you're pursuing. You know, when you're close to someone, it's not hard for you to resemble them. And so the Apostle Paul says that if you're going to utilize any of these things right now, you got to make the pursuit of God your number one ambition. You got to make the pursuit of God's attributes and God's character and God's personality your number one thing. Because if you get some of these things that you can have with it, and you don't have love, it's not going to be a tool for you to minister. It's going to be a weapon for you to destroy with. And God's gifts aren't designed to be weapons to destroy. They're designed to be gifts to edify, to build up, and to encourage. Amen? And so we got to make sure that we're pursuing God's pure love. All right, number two. If we're pursuing God because God is love, then we need to make sure that we desire God's spiritual gifts. Now you see, we didn't make this up either. This is right out of the Word of God. This is what the Word of God says, that we are to pursue love. We're to pursue God and God-likeness and God-attributes and God-personality and God's character and all that. And yet, while you're doing that, desire what? Desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Do you know it's not wrong to desire God's spiritual graces? You know, it's not wrong to desire God's supernatural spiritual enablements for effective ministry. That's what the Word of God says. It says that we are to pursue love, and with a cloak of love, with a mantle of love, with a testimony of love, with a tenderness of love, with a purity of love, then you desire God's supernatural enablement for you to minister effectively. And desire spiritual gifts or graces. Now, what spiritual gifts or graces should believers be desiring? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, he tells you what those nine main ones are. When you are pursuing love and you are desiring God's spiritual gifts, they would be, among others, words of wisdom. Words of wisdom. While you're pursuing God in this passionate pursuit of His love to be immersed in you, and you to be immersed in His love, you pursue words of wisdom. What are words of wisdom? Is God giving you communication about how to deal with a circumstance or situation that needs supernatural insight? You need to have the supernatural ability to deal with a circumstance or situation the way that God would. And God's going to give you supernatural insight into a circumstance or a situation. My goodness, would much of your life or much of my life be better if we receive words of wisdom every now and then from God? What about words of knowledge? Words of knowledge. Wisdom gives you an understanding into a situation. Knowledge gives you facts or information about something that you had no prior knowledge to. And the Apostle Paul saying, pursue these things. Earnestly desire these things. Words of wisdom. Words of knowledge. What about this one? Faith. Now all of us are to walk by faith. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we're talking about a gift of faith. We're talking about somebody that has the supernatural ability and enablement from God to believe God for something that is absolutely impossible. And I mean, there are times in your life where you need this spiritual grace in your life. How many of you got a hard place, got a hard situation? How many of you got a hard child? How many of you got a hard husband? How many of you got a hard wife? And you need faith to believe they're going to be different. They're going to be changed. They're going to be better to do that. How do you do that? Pursue love. While you're pursuing love, then earnestly desire words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith. What about this? Miracles. Miracles. I'm talking about a suspension of the laws of nature. Why in the world would God tell us to desire these things earnestly, enthusiastically, if they didn't exist anymore? Why would God tell you and tease you to build your spirit up, to build your emotion up, and say, go after these words of wisdom, go after these words of knowledge, go after this gift of faith, go after these miracles, but they don't really exist. You can't ever have them. Beloved, I want to tell you, God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if you ever get between a rock and a hard place, and your rock ain't going to move, and your hard place ain't going to go, you might need a miracle. And you ought to get a miracle, amen? Sometimes God gives you the supernatural enablement to believe Him in faith for an absolute miracle, a suspension of the laws of nature, a change in the divine order in creation in order that God's purposes might be fulfilled and you might help bring glory to His name. How about any of the others? Can we go on anymore? He tells you to have words of wisdom. He says to earnestly desire faith and miracles. What about healings? Healings. Gifts, plural, of healings. That many times healings comes in plurality. And there are many times that you have that. He says, pursue these things. Earnestly desire these things. Make them let them become a passion in you because you're pursuing after love when you're doing this. And love is causing you to want to be able to minister people's needs in the most effective way. And the most effective way is in the divine power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because this is not for your arrogance. This is not for your self-esteem. This is not to parade over anybody else. This is to promote God. If you want to do it for a power trip, if you want to do it for an ego trip, you're not pursuing love, and it's never going to happen. You might manifest the flesh, and you might do some crazy things, but it won't be God, and it won't be eternal. Amen? He says, earnestly desire the words of wisdom, earnestly desire the words of knowledge, and earnestly desire the gifts. And what about this one? The distinguishing of spirits. The distinguishing of spirits. You know, that's a gift. You know, we've been studying about that some, and on Wednesday nights, we've seen that there are some times that some people get all influenced by the spirit of Python. And you sometimes have to have a discerning spirit to know that's Python operating their life. You know, Python chokes the breath out of them. Python chokes the spirit out of them. Sometimes you need to know the gift of the Holy Spirit to be able, the minister of the Holy Spirit, to be able to distinguish. That's not Python, that's Leviathan. Leviathan is that twisting spirit that twists the truth and distorts the truth in their mind and coming out of their mouth. And the spirit of mammon. And so it's the gift of the Holy Spirit that helps you to distinguish what kind of spirit that you're dealing with. Sometimes, you know, the demonic spirits, they don't come with red suits and pitchforks and say, I'm a demon spirit and I'm going to make a mess out of life right here. They present themselves as angels of light. And they will promote themselves as ambassadors of light. But God will give you the supernatural ability to distinguish that. That's not a holy spirit. That's an unholy spirit. And that's the one that it is. The spirit of fear. God's not giving you that spirit of fear. Amen. So you see, that's what He's telling you to desire. That's what He's telling you to pursue. That's what He's telling you to earnestly seek after and hunt and have there is we've got to pursue God's pure love and we got to desire God's spiritual gifts. Amen? But number three, while you're pursuing God's love and while you desire God's gifts, then we have to be able to hear God's distinctive voice. We have to be able to hear God's distinctive voice. Now, he says, I want you to pursue love. I want you to desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And then he says in verse 1, but especially that you may what? That you may prophesy. Oh, my goodness, can we talk a minute? Amen? Now remember, to prophesy is to relate divine communication to another person. It means to speak forth the mind of God and the counsel of God to another person. And that is a ministry of the Holy Spirit that appears to you or appears to me as a grace gift. And it may be a manifestation gift that will come upon you at times and not be upon you at other times. There have been many examples, and you are recipients of those, that the Spirit of God will give me a prophetic word for you. Maybe it's in a ministry time. Maybe it's in a praying time. And God will bring out of my spirit, by His Spirit, out of my mouth and speaking to you profound things that had no knowledge of knowing. But yet I won't know your name afterwards. That's when you know when he's just walked out of that and, you know, that God had this word for you, but I don't even know your name. Those are just uncanny things that you begin to see and experience. Like, but the key to prophesying is speaking a divine counsel or divine message is the first and foremost, it being able to hear God's distinctive voice. The reason that there's not more prophesying going on is because people are too confused about the voices that they hear. They're too uncertain about the communication they receive. Now, on November the 30th, I'm going to be preaching a message that's going to start us into the journey heading toward the journey for 2015. And I believe 2015 is going to be shaped predominantly by teaching us and us all learning how to learn the language of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit has a unique way of communicating to us. And we need to learn all of those ways that He communicates to us so that we can recognize God's voice. And it's not one thing, it's not two things, it's not three things, it's not four things. There's at least 8 or 10 different ways that God uses through the Holy Spirit as languages from Him. For example, God does, and all Baptists are excited about this one, God does speak through His written word. Amen? That is a powerful way, and we praise God for that. And man, I love it when it's just as simple and as straightforward as is God illuminating your attention and your spirit to a truth in the written word. God uses the written word to speak to you His language. God uses the preached word to speak to you. God uses the taught word to speak to you. And God uses that written word while we're reading that word to communicate to us like that. But my goodness, Baptists have made a short exchange of lending ourselves to those expressions of the Holy Spirit's language. Not to diminish that, not to deny that, by all means use that. That's the most infallible way that you will ever know things. But God also speaks through circumstances. He speaks through people. He speaks through prayer. Amen? But God also speaks through dreams and visions. We're going to do a teaching, you know, on this, but here's what you need to understand about God speaking through dreams and visions. You see, dreams and visions are simply influences that come out of our spirit to our senses. And when your spirit has communication that needs to be made to your soul, which is your mind and your emotions, and that's where your will is contained, many times your natural senses have to be put to sleep. They have to be put in neutral because your senses are always competing to communicate in a dominant way to you. Your body receives communication through the five senses. And so when you are asleep and God's going to give you a prophetic dream, then what God does is he lets your spirit give a communication to your senses. And it'll be something that you see in a dream. It'll be something that you hear in a dream. It'll be something you smell in a dream. It'll be something you taste in a dream. How many of you know that you taste things in your dream from time to time? And you need to make sure it's not the pillow that you're eating. No. But you do. And we have to pay attention to that, because what's one of the languages that the Holy Spirit uses is dreams. Now, a vision. A vision is, again, is God using your spirit. Your spirit, all who worship, worship in spirit, and they worship in truth. God uses your spirit to release communication to your soul in a vision. The only difference in the dream and the vision is that the dream occurs when you're asleep. The vision occurs when you're awake. And God will communicate through your spirit and give you a vision that you can see, hear, smell, or taste of divine truth that needs to be proclaimed. Amen? Are you with me so far? You do that. So the very key is we've got to hear God's distinctive voice. God not only speaks through his written word, through the preached word, through the taught word, through the read word, through the circumstances, the people, the prayer, the dreams and visions. But remember this one in the Bible, the Urim and the Thummim? Anybody wondered about the Urim and the Thummim? Basically, you'll see this in the Old Testament and you see it in the book of Acts. But there were times that God chose to express an affirmation of his will or a communication of his will through the Urim and the Thummim. Now, the Urim and the Thummim were, as best we know about it, were two stones. The Urim would be a yes stone. The Thummim would be a no stone. And when a person was seeking God's counsel or seeking God's will by the Urim and the Thummim, it was with a yes or a no question. And they would ask a yes or a no question, and God somehow would magnify or illumine the yes or the no stone, the Urim or the Thummim stone. And if they were asking, is this supposed to be the next apostle? And that Urim would light up if it was yes. Or the Thummim would light up if it was no. King David did it when he asked for the priest to bring the ephod. And he would bring that priestly garment and would get under his tabernacle. And he would ask with the Urim and Thummim, is King Saul using Keah to come and to take me and to kill me? And God spoke to him through the Urim and the Thummim, told him, yes, that's what he's coming for. He's coming to kill you. Well, how does that apply to you and me? You see, inside of our spirit, we have our own spiritual Urim and Thummim. That sometimes you need to know an answer by yes or no. And you ask God, is this your will for me? And then you have an illumination in your spirit of a yes, that's right. Or a no, that's not. That's the spiritual application of the Urim and Thummim. And so all of these, I'm simply saying this right now. This is teaser for the next message, all right? This is teaser for the next message. But that we need to learn the language of the Holy Spirit, or you'll never prophesy. If you don't understand God's voice, then how in the world are you going to have the courage to speak what you heard? If you don't know that this is what God's saying this to you, then you know what we do most of the time is we keep what we heard to ourselves. Now, sometimes that's not a bad thing. Don't tell everything that you think you know. But I'm talking about pursuing God's pure love. I'm talking about being baptized in love and walking in love. I'm talking about, because of the love relationship you have with God, then what you have is you have an earnest desire for the spiritual giftedness of the words of wisdom, of the words of knowledge, of the words of faith, of the miracles, of the healings, of the tongues, of the interpretation of tongues, of the distinguishing of spirits that he talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, that we have those spiritual gifts operation. We're desiring those things. We're pursuing those things. We're committed to those things because we want the outcome that those things bring, and that's the glory of God and the edification and the exhortation and the consolation of the saints. We want them built up. And so God entrusts you with a prophetic word. And it is a word that you're going to have to take hearing God's distinctive voice. Amen? And then don't let it die right there, because the fourth thing is when you're pursuing God's love and you're desiring spiritual gifts and you're hearing God's voice, then you've got to be willing to speak God's prophetic word. You've got to prophesy. You've got to say it. You've got to speak it. Amen? And a lot of times you don't know the full message that you're speaking until you start speaking it. Amen? Chapter 14, verse 3. But one who prophesies does what? Speaks. Now, that's brilliant, isn't it? That's just brilliant. That's just brilliant truth right there. One who prophesies speaks. But who do you speak to when you prophesy? You speak to men. Now, here's what I want you to notice, verse 24. But if, how many? But in America, just one speaks. And that's right. And if you try to speak right now, I might rule you out of order. No. But if all prophesy, an unbeliever or a what kind of a man? If an unbeliever walks in, and an ungifted man, that's a Baptist. All right. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, what happens to the unbeliever or those not trained in the gifts? They are what? They are convicted by who? Now, you see, in the New Testament time, people didn't come to church to get. People came to church to give. People didn't come just to receive something. People came to church so they might be used to release something. But in America today, we got a consumer-based mentality that they want to have it served their way. They want their music their way. They want their message their way. They want the temperature their way. They think they're at McDonald's. They think they're at Burger King. They think they can have it their way. But oh my goodness, when an unconverted person comes in or an ungifted person comes in, and this one's prophesying and this one's prophesying. What's prophesying? It's just hearing communication from God and speaking communication that you heard from God. When they do that, they are convicted by everything they've heard, by everything they've experienced. And they are called to account by how many? You see the emphasis of all? I mean, the body being one, and the body's united in love, and the body is empowered by the Spirit, and the power is and the all is operating in the gifts, and he's called to account by all. And look at this: the secrets of his heart are what? Are disclosed. Do you know? I don't know about you, but I'd love to have those old fashioned hot services again. When a person that came in here with sin knew they were likely to be convicted about that sin because the Spirit of God was talking to them about their sin. You know, that's what we've got at Truth Tabernacle of Praise. Man, I want to tell you, if you're missing Wednesday nights here, you are missing manifestations of the Spirit like you've never seen. At God just taking the community. I mean, this place is standing room only. Standing room only. And God's just doing supernatural and miraculous things. And people are being convicted. And people are being changed. They're being converted. But look at this. And the secrets of their hearts disclosed. So he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring, what are they declaring? That God is certainly where? God is among. How would they know that? I want to tell you, it's not by the sign that's on the door. It's not by the rules that are posted. You know, it's not by the regulations. It's not by the denomination. It's by the manifestation of the Spirit that's given for the benefit of everybody. When the Spirit manifests itself in a word of wisdom, in a word of knowledge, in a healing, in a miracle, in a bold declaration of faith. When God releases His message like that, then a person is convicted. The secrets of their heart can be revealed. They'll know there. Nobody knew that but God. And how do they know it? Because God told it to this one. God told it to that one. And that one told it in love to that person. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. So we fall on his face declaring that God is certainly among you, done for edification. Let's look at the next verse up here, please. And verse 26. What is the outcome then? What's the outcome of this, brethren? When you assemble, one will have a what? 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 But let all things be done for what? Edification. Now, do you see that? What he's saying is that when you come to the house of God, God might want you to deliver a message to somebody else. God might have a revelation for you. God might have a truth for you. God might have a song for you. I go back to the country church that we first pastored, and I go in Marie's home church, where that's at now. I'm not so sure they're not more closer to New Testament than the bigger, more sophisticated churches are. Because there's anybody got a song today? Anybody got a song they want to sing today? And they'll just come down. And I'd like to sing this song. Now, if you go back at some places, 52 weeks, they'll have the same song all 52 weeks. anybody have a word today? Anybody have that? And so there is New Testament basis for that, but the qualifier is at the end of that, all things have to be done for what? And not edification of the person delivering the psalm, delivering the teaching, delivering the revelation. For the edification of the one receiving it, because you're operating in love, you're enabled by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit and the gift and the graces, and you're hearing God's distinctive voice, and now you're just speaking God's prophetic word. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Now, one man can't do all of those things. You know that. And so why in the world should you expect one man to have all of that? A lot of times because only one man is going to do all of this. But really, when the body is the body and love is the foundation, yes, and trust is the core, then you can have more of these manifestations of God in our midst. And you'll get back to finding a more unsaved people getting convicted, and ungifted people, unlearned people, untrained people being compelled to go on to grow in Christ. Amen? So we got to speak God's prophetic word. And how about number five? How about number five here? We got to edify God's militant church. Why does he say to especially that you may prophesy? We have to pursue God's pure love. We have to desire God's spiritual gifts. We have to hear God's distinctive voice. We need to speak God's prophetic word because God's church, God's people need to be edified. Amen? Look at what it says in verse 3. But one who prophesies does what? Speaks. Now remember, that's what prophesying is. It's hearing the voice of God and speaking what God has said to be spoken. Now, not everything God speaks needs to be spoken yet. And that's another season. You need to learn when a word's in season, out of season. But I'm talking about when you've heard God's voice saying, this is Pastor Darrell needs to hear this today. Then, you know, you say what needs to be heard. And a lot of times you won't know the person, but you've heard God say something about them. And again, look, how will you know if this is a prophecy, if God's using you to prophesy? It's going to do one of three things for them. Look at number one, it's going to edify them. It's going to build them up. That's what edification means. It's a form of the word house builder. It's what you look at as a person comes into church and their house may be broken down. their temple, their tabernacle may be bruised. It may be wounded. Their life may be, they might not have much anyhow left in their hallelujah. And God's wanting them to be edified. God's wanting their house to be built up, wants them to be encouraged, wants them to be strengthened, and God gives you a word, and it's going to edify them, it's going to build them up. That is the core of prophesying. It's not, for you, I got teased with some of my brothers, or I got amused at them, that operate in this gifting for a long time before it was a popular thing to do. That how you got you'll see the flesh manifest and start trying to speak a word of prophecy, and it's always in the old King James. And he said this one guy got up one time and says, "Thus saith the Lord, thou sayest they bought that TV." To be current on news, but thou knowest that thou boughtest that TV so thou could watch I Love Lucy, saith the Lord. Now maybe that was a prophetic word, I don't know, but that was one standing on a soapbox that they didn't think the other one ought to have in their possession. But you have those things, but really when you're the key of prophesying is that it's primarily going to edify somebody. It's going to build them up. Sometimes it's a correcting word that builds them up because you love somebody too much to let them not walk in truth. But it's always going to be spoken in truth. And so look at this. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation. You know, they're going to be built up in their faith. They're going to be in, but they're also going to be encouraged in their walk. They're going to be encouraged in their struggles. They're going to be encouraged in the faith as well, and for consolation. It's interesting how these words, this one is the paraclesis. It's the word for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will comfort you. He will come along beside you. And that's what this is doing. When you are prophesying, when God has given you the Spirit, you're hearing from God, you're prophesying. In essence, you're coming along beside them in whatever they're going through. And you know, you can't have a prophetic ministry if you're not willing to get your shoes muddy. You can't have a prophetic ministry if you're not willing to get your hands dirty. You can't have a prophetic ministry if you're not willing to come along beside them. You can come alongside them and say, "Thou better watch out for that pit." But what people really need is when they're in a pit, would you get down in the pit with them and say, "Let me help you get up out of this pit, and together we'll come up out of this pit." That's when you're prophesying, you're exhorting, you're edifying, and you are consoling, you're comforting. Amen? Now look at verse 31. For you can what? Oh my goodness. You can all prophesy. You can all hear the voice of God. You can all speak the voice of God that you heard in love to edify, to exhort, to comfort. Amen? Look at your pastor right here and right now. Okay, would you look at me right now? If I can't say anything any more profound to you right now, is that if you're a child of God, every single one of you can hear the voice of God. Every single one of you can hear the voice of God. And every single one of you have the capacity to speak the prophetic word to minister to another brother or to another sister in the power and the love of Jesus. So would you say this? We can all prophesy. We can all prophesy in the name and power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39 says, look at verse 31, for you can all prophesy one by one so that all may what? Learn and be what? You see, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everybody for the benefit of everybody. When the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in communicating you in a language of the Holy Spirit that you can understand, it might be by a dream, it might be by a vision, It might be through prayer. It might be through circumstances. It might be through another person. It might be through the preached word. It might be through the read word, the devotional word. It might be through the taught word. But you can all hear that voice of God. And when you know that, then you can speak that. Amen? Look at verse 39. Therefore, when you do that, people learn. They learn and they grow in that. Wow, look how God used that person. Do you know the biggest challenge for me, and it may be for you too, is it that we often judge more by the package than by the message. We often look at the package that God has chosen to deliver the message, and because the package doesn't look like what we think it ought to look like, we ignore the message. But we've got to get beyond that prejudice. We've got to get beyond that stereotype. We've got to get beyond that limitation. And man, that especially challenges me as a pastor, because I hear regularly people saying, Pastor, I got a word that I need to share. I will go ahead and share it. Okay, I said, right now with me. Share it with me. And I've got to discern. Is that a now word, a later word, or never word? But we have to be willing to that. But oftentimes we just look at the package and say, well, I don't think God would say something like that through that package. And usually it's our pride, is that we don't want to be confronted with truth by a particular type of package. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. Amen? So it's not just chaos in doing that. So what I'm proposing to you is that we would earnestly desire, the gifts that God has, but especially that we would prophesy. Hear from God and speak what God has spoken. Amen?
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.